right and the left. That's correct, you are.
Because you're living on a line. It's a linear expansion in this direction and the other one. It has infinite length but infinitesimal girth. Timeline Earth, only one dimension for you to meet your friends.
We can handle it. Listen, denoting? No. Discerning listeners will note there is a distinct lack of an evil presence on the podcast today. Yeah. Uh-huh. He's still gone.
Yeah.
And this time he didn't even have the courtesy to create like an intro for us.
Wow.
He's nuts.
Yep. I'm just glad he left the basement door unlocked.
Yeah. Well, welcome in again, Ace. Yeah, it's great to have you back on. Speaking of Aaron, let's just get this one out of the way. There's one major piece of news going on, and I'm sure we will talk about it throughout the episode. But I do want to point out, I was going to say, why did the Afghanistan war start? Well, it wasn't the reason that I was leading to. But let's just say it was because Osama bin Laden attacked this great country's trade centers. Mm-hmm. Let's say that was why the Afghanistan war happened and not because they had it already pre-planned out many years before that.
Yeah, say it. Let's say it.
So
yeah.
Let's say that. Well, Aaron's not here, and he also did just purchase a house, but I think he missed a big opportunity.
How so?
Because Osama bin Laden's brother, Ibrahim bin Laden, is selling his California mansion.
Wait, what?
Yes, for $28 million.
There's a lot of stuff that comes along with that statement.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm still processing this.
Correct. So Ibrahim, who is the older half-brother of the late terrorist, has owned the property for 4 decades. 4 decades.
Oh, huh.
Can you imagine him owning it?
Just calling Osama. Oh, hey, what's up, bro?
He's like, bro, what the fuck? I have a building here. What's the problem? Yeah, he purchased... It's a Mediterranean-style villa.
Makes sense.
He got it for 1.6 at the time, which is pretty decent. And
yeah, that's a good
it's
deal.
Worth. He's selling it for 28 today.
Very good. Very good.
It's good.
ROI.
Very good.
Good for
me. Now, here's the thing. It has been abandoned for quite some time, yeah. as one could imagine.
Yeah.
The owner has not been there,
Ibrahim,
for 20 years
yeah.
or so.
Makes sense.
Discerning listeners will note what year it is.
It coincides with our second favorite year after 1981.
That's true. That's true. And despite its abandoned state, the property's price is based only on the land value. That $28 million is just the land value and not even actually
the
mansion itself.
Style home.
2 acres of land with a mansion, 7 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms. It's a Pepto-Bismol pink color, which is very 80s.
Just a casual 7x5 starter home.
It's, yeah, very casual, very calm, very nice. The Bin Laden Ranch, I hope it's called.
Yeah.
It's got a pool. I didn't know you could swim in Sharia, but you can. I thought you couldn't. I thought that was one of the things you couldn't do. You can.
That would be a...
It has a fire pit.
Wild restriction.
Right? You can't swim.
Well, that's just the Americanized Sharia.
Yeah.
You
that's
know,
right. Yeah.
That, yeah, yeah. Orthodox, yeah. You can...
Yeah.
Can,
yeah.
It's been tainted over time. It's been tainted over time.
Water.
So, yeah, he's selling that. It's been, let's be honest, pretty overtaken. The fountains are crumbling. The blacktop motor court, that's right, you heard me correctly, is cracked in several spots. After the September 11th attacks, which is probably what you're wondering about, Ibrahim was vacationing abroad at the time.
Yeah.
And he decided never to return to the U.S., fearing that his notoriety of his last name would bring pain upon him. Can't really, like, date. Like, I don't have a problem with that.
No.
Now, here's some other things.
Okay.
It is Southern California. It is a mansion. Ibrahim rented the property out. And in 2010, it was used to shoot pornographic films.
Okay.
In the Bin Laden mansion. So discerning listeners will note, if you've ever seen a graphic video featuring a pink mansion, you might have seen a video shot at Bin Laden Ranch.
Wow.
Incredible.
Ibrahim, now here's the thing. We would go, oh, he's his half-brother? They must have been pretty close.
None of those things were the thing. Here's the thing. Yeah, here's this upcoming bit is that this is the thing. This is just that. All of that was just preface to this one thing.
First of all, the property used to be owned by producer Arthur Freed, who's produced Singin' in the Rain and The Wizard of Oz, and then he sold it to the Osama family.
On September 12th.
2000.
2000?
No. Ibrahim, here's the thing. Everybody's like, see, I don't feel bad for Ibrahim because, like, just because you were the son of a Saudi billionaire doesn't mean you're, you know, related to your half-brother who's a terrorist.
Right.
And now most people would be like, well, my half-brother and I are pretty close. Here's the thing. To save Ibrahim's reputation, he was one of 56 children born to the Saudi Arabian construction tycoon Mohammed bin Awad bin Laden, who had 22 wives.
Wow.
22 That's... wives. He was ballin'. He died in a plane crash.
Oh.
There goes the story. And I'll let the listeners figure out why he died in a plane crash, maybe how.
Maybe when.
Anything like that. And then more Afghanistan stuff. We got, I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if you saw this, guys, but their national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, was up there talking to reporters. I saw
like Eigen doing a breakdown of it on Twitter, but I didn't actually watch it.
Oh, dude.
Sounded pretty brutal.
Quote, "We don't have a complete picture of where every article of defense material has gone, but..."
Oh, love that. The pivot.
Certainly, a fair amount of it has fallen into the hands of the Taliban.
Very tight. Very good and cool.
And obviously...
I thought that was going to go in a completely different direction. They were going to say we had most of it.
Yeah. Not even trying anymore. Just capitulation.
And obviously, we don't have a sense that they're going to readily hand it over to us at the airport.
Oh man!
He kept going.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
those Black Hawks were not given to the Taliban. They were given to the Afghan National Security Forces to be able to defend themselves at a specific request of President Ghani. That's it.
That's it. The end. Fiend.
Yeah.
This is where the $2.3 trillion missing dollars went, guys.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They found it. Taliban found it.
Yeah.
This has been
just quite a ride.
Really interesting.
A real ride.
Interesting how both the same week before the Afghanistan war began, both $2.3 trillion and a member of the Bin Laden family went missing, vacationed in a foreign country.
Yes, very interesting. Now we can talk about it. Now that the case is closed, now the official investigation is over.
All right.
So here's actually what happened on 9/11.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, it was under investigation for 20 years, and now that we've pulled out and it's closed, we can now.
Unbelievable.
Discuss the case.
Did you see Biden up there?
Yeah.
Biden actually saying words I would have wanted him to say.
Yeah, I know.
Time.
I was actually talking about that with Ace last night in voice chat. I was like, I tuned in for a train wreck and I didn't get what I wanted.
No, you got like an affirmative statement of some kind.
And there's always that moment where you're like, holy shit, am I agreeing with him right now?
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. Now, that being said, 7,000 troops have been deployed since. Or
I think it
there
was,
are currently
I think
7,000 total.
Yeah, 7,000 total. I think there were 6,000 over there, 1,000 are being deployed.
Right,
but my understanding is that they're basically going to try to just secure the airport.
Yeah, the airport.
So I think they're...
That's what they say.
Well, that's what they say. I mean, who the hell knows? I mean, honestly, who the hell knows at this point? I really don't. I mean, usually I would just expect the worst and be like, no, the war is going to continue to go. But it really doesn't seem that way.
No,
it really seems like...
it's over.
Yeah, it's they,
it's
they've
over.
talked. yeah, the tail between the legs.
And I mean, trying to go back in after the Taliban has captured all right. of that military equipment, you're just, right. it's just
going
to be a disaster.
Into a buzzsaw, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck.
You're right. fighting your own Apache helicopters and yeah. drones. Like, that would suck.
It's wild, man. So he's going up there and he's like, I'm not going to take part in another tenant and another generation of kids off. Brother, I would like a comment about how you were vice president during an escalation
right.
period.
I know. Yeah, that was so
I would
stupid.
Like a comment
yeah,
about that.
He was kind of like throwing shade at Obama, which, hey, I'm always happy when people throw shade
Me too.
At Obama. But it's like, dude, you were standing right there, my
right
friend.
There. Right there. Right there next to him. Everybody is getting their commentary, and Ron Paul had a great statement, as usual. Everybody is really, at this moment, is like, I told you so. We told you so.
Yeah.
This is what happens.
I think it's important to highlight, because I know we do have some younger listeners, and we have some older listeners that are older than me, but, I mean, I'm 33, and I have never seen anything like this. I'm sure that probably Vietnam felt a little bit like this.
I would be curious to know if any listeners want to hit us up on Twitter who are around for the pullout in Vietnam.
Yeah, Saigon. I mean, I have never really seen... It always feels like the government is one step ahead, and anytime they're pulling out of somewhere, they're actually going back in, or they're just moving troops to another. You know, it always,
right.
always seems like
right.
some strategic, like they're going to fuck you no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
This one seems like they are truly running away with tail between their legs,
yeah.
and they don't have a choice. Like they have to get out of there. I mean, it is very bizarre.
And we can't forget, in giving Biden what should be like necessary, okay, thanks for saying that, at least.
Yeah.
Also, this is the guy who changed the date in the first
yeah.
place
yes.
and broke the treaty.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
If he didn't do that, and there weren't military expectations to leave on September 11th, like he wanted, even though the Taliban were like, we signed a deal with you that would have it be like a month and a half earlier, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to stick to that. And they did.
Yeah,
and they did.
Props to him.
And yeah, I think that this is probably, I said this on Twitter, I'm waiting. I think they're all dead, but I'm waiting for the neocons to come out and be like, I have to explain why it took 20 years for us to do what we did there, and it was dismantled in 3 weeks.
Right.
I would just like some answers to that.
Well, yeah, oh, yeah, I mean, for sure. Unfortunately, because it was Biden and not like a neocon hero, although I guess Biden is kind of a neocon hero in some weird ways.
Yeah,
but
you would have said he was in 2003.
You're right, yeah, for sure. I would have said he was in 2019.
Very true,
yeah,
very true.
But, you know, I mean, it does make for a convenient talking point because he is from other party, you know, to say, oh, well, Biden shouldn't have, you know, I don't know. It's just going to give them an easy out. I'm not very confident
yeah.
that they're going to get their feet held to the fire, but... Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Those guys are just so worthless. They're all
and
bad.
You know, you made a good point, Bert, because it's like they, in reality, they really the U.S. Army just got pushed out of Afghanistan more than they left because
yeah.
the Taliban
Correct.
Was like, nope, we're coming in. Bye.
Correct. Which makes you wonder what took so long.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that is the question, or is at least like orthogonal to the question that is just front and center in my mind. Nothing else matters to me, but the answer to that question, like why, the question being why now, and the more to put a finer tip on it, there was no intense political pressure for them to leave Afghanistan. There just hasn't been in forever because people have more or less forgotten about it. They've been able to basically keep it on volume one or two versus the rest of the news for years now, and so they've been just quietly funneling money to their friends. And enemies, as it turns out, you know, nobody really talks about leaving Afghanistan. Not really, you know, not on a national stage. It wasn't like this is an election year. There was no real pressure to leave Afghanistan. Why did we? And I think the answer to that question is we had to. And I think that,
yes,
that
yeah.
maybe there may be some very deep structural things in the mm-hmm. core of the American government right now that are really, really shaky and a lot shakier than maybe even we would hope for. Like,
yeah.
I think, I think that there is some real, you know, Soviet Union late 80s vibes going on right now.
It sure yeah. does feel that way, right? It sure does feel that way that this is the empire crippler this time.
Yeah.
But, you know, you would have thought Vietnam was.
Well, sure, yeah, or the financial crisis,
or whatever. The
yeah.
empire's. I'm sorry to tell all of our listeners, empire's going to keep just going to keep kicking just fine. for a little while longer. At least that's my thought. This doesn't indicate to me a dying empire at all. It was a terrible pullout. I mean, the money that it cost has been building for a long time. I don't really think this is the one, but I guess we'll see. Now, I will read an opinion that was written from The Sun as to why it happened in the first place, if you'll give me a second to do so.
Okay.
Biden has inherited a deal from former President Donald Trump to withdraw troops by May 1st, 2021. That is when it should have happened. That is when Donald Trump set out to have that happen. May 1st. He pushed it. He pushed it. He warned that remaining in Afghanistan would mean additional U.S. casualties and a continued war that started 2 decades ago. That was Trump. During a press conference on August 12th, 2021, the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said, "We are not going to have a mission accomplished moment in this regard. It's a 20-year war that has not been won militarily." This was a reference to former President George W. Bush's mission accomplished speech in 2003, a statement that has been widely criticized after he announced major combat operations in Iraq have ended. Which, by the way, there was a really funny tweet. I wish I could remember who tweeted it, but it was like, man, I can't believe out of all this, I would never have guessed Iraq was the good war. Iraq went the way that they wanted it to.
Yeah.
And then this one did not go the way they wanted it to. Obviously, the reference being Iraq was a far more put-together nation at the time, which is actually what the reason why I think it was more mission accomplished in Iraq was because it was actually a country with a leader that you could just cut the head off of.
Well, right, and I think that despite all the they wanted, like, that was the reason that they were going in was to topple the Saddam Hussein's regime, which they did, and then it got a million times worse, but you know,
correct,
nonetheless, mission accomplished, right?
So after 20 years, this is Biden speaking. Well, he says, "I stand squarely by my decision. After 20 years, I've learned the hard way that there was never a good time to withdraw U.S. forces." There was never a good time to put them in there either, sir. We planned for every contingency. No, you didn't. But I always promised the American people that I would be straight with you. The truth is, this did unfold more quickly than we anticipated. Yes, it did. At least 2 months quicker than they anticipated. At least 2 months. So what happened, he says? Afghanistan political leaders gave up and fled the country. The Afghan military collapsed sometimes without trying to fight. 20 years to get that. 20 years to get that. Yes. And I'm not, obviously none of us are even close to neoconservatives on this podcast, but you must look at them as workers, right? And you go, you had a job, right? Your job was to accomplish whatever the goals stated were. Not one of them has been accomplished.
No, not whatsoever.
What in Afghanistan has been accomplished?
I guess, quote-unquote, killing Osama bin Laden, if they did.
In Pakistan!
Oh, in Pakistan. Yes, you're right. That's right. I totally forgot about that.
After refusing multiple offers from the Taliban to turn him over.
To turn him over, yeah.
And the Afghan government. Everybody was like, let's turn him over. Let's turn him over.
Oh, easy. Done. Simple as. Here he is.
And not only did they not...
No.
Yeah. Correct. Not only did they not turn him over, forgive me if I get the name of the general wrong, I think it was David Petraeus. It was one of those five-star generals who was like, hold on, let him sit in the hills for a little while. Just let him sit there. And Scott Horton wrote about it in his first book, and he really encapsulates it perfectly. He's like, everyone's looking around going like, what? He's right there. He's right there. We can get him right now.
Yeah.
That really is the it's a tragedy, obviously. We're laughing at it. We'd laugh at most tragedies on this podcast. I think you have to laugh because it is so mind-bogglingly insane.
Yeah.
How we did this. Like, we as in the government did this. Orchestrated this for 20 years, and about 17 of it was forgotten by the American population.
Yeah.
Right, it was the first two, and this last year seemed to be the only years anyone remembered we were in Afghanistan in the first place, which is ridiculous to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think after they quote unquote killed Osama bin Laden, all interest was lost.
When was that? 2008?
No, that was 2011.
2011 in May or something like that. I remember it was Obama when it happened. I remember back when I was really young, obviously, and I remember that dropped at like 9:30 p.m.
It was a Sunday night, I think, or a Monday night.
Yeah, and the whole country was partying
the next day. Yeah.
Did you have a job in it? Was it to kill Osama bin Laden?
It was not. It was not. It was to retire from killing Osama bin Laden. I had to find my next job.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You were the one who hit him in the Bahamas.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they killed him, and everybody thought that was it. And then it almost seems like since then, and I guess if you're saying that was 2011, that would be 9 years ago, maybe 10 years ago around.
Yeah.
10 years of what? Even right. Like, and I know, and I go, what about the years before that? What the fuck were they doing that all those years before?
Well, right, yeah.
Nothing, but like 10, really, I mean, it's just such a disaster. So why were U.S. troops in Afghanistan? It's an obvious question with an obvious answer. From 2001, U.S. and NATO forces attempted to force the Taliban out of power, and they did so, and they did so. The U.S. invaded Afghanistan to locate Osama bin Laden and other al-Qaeda figures on 9/11. Despite a continued presence, the Taliban has regrouped and regained strength in more remote areas. You got to wonder how that happens. Billions of dollars were assigned to U.S. troops to fight the Taliban insurgency and fund a reconstruction project. While other foreign troops were present in the country, NATO ended its combat mission in 2014. They did, however, decide to keep 13,000 troops there to help train Afghan forces. 20 years troops were there. On July 9th, that is of this year, the Taliban controlled more than 90 cities. 167 were contested, and 141 were controlled by the government. The ratios are, again, Taliban 90, government 141, 167 under contest. That was July 9th. Remember, May 31st was the original pullout date. So after that, July 9th, it's still hotly contested. Today, the day of recording, is August 18th. That was hard in my brain. Yep. But we have
adding
statistics.
One.
Yeah,
adding
yeah,
one.
Yeah. And by the way, Carr, we mentioned this off air, but let's say shout out on air to Wednesday not screwing us.
Yes.
Last week, and to the fact that we got some news this week before
it's great.
Wednesday.
It's really,
great stuff.
We've permanently altered our relationship with the universe.
We might have gotten it fixed.
Maybe we adjusted our position on the line just right.
Correct.
Like,
we pulled out of feeling like we could control the universe, and the universe swiftly took control again, and things have been remitted. Anyway, July 9th, last time I'm going to read this out, because you need to get an understanding of this. The Taliban, on July 9th, controlled 90 cities. The government controlled 141, and 167 were under contest. You have those numbers in your head? Mm-hmm. On August 15th, 12 cities remained under government control, 41 were contested, and 345 have been taken by the Taliban. God.
I mean,
Zaranj was the first province that was taken in early August. In early August, they took the first provincial capital. So within 2 weeks, they went from taking the first full provincial capital in Afghanistan to 15 days later, where they control everything but 12 cities and 41 are contested, and I have no idea how on earth you can say something is contested.
Right.
I don't know what that even actually means anyway.
It means that the government lost control, but they don't want to say they lost
control.
Yeah,
right, precisely. So it is literally steaming, I would say, out of control, but it seems like they're under control just fine, and we're leaving, so we're not seeking to control the situation.
I remember a couple days ago, it was like, this is when they were first moving in, they were scared they were about to take Kabul. And it was like estimated, because the first thing, right, it was like 90 days they estimated that the Taliban may take Kabul. And then a couple days after that, it was like, we actually expect them to take it in 72 hours.
Yeah, yep. And they did.
And then it was even shorter than that. It was like 10 hours later they had control of it.
And they did.
Central Palace.
I mean, you get the impression that literally what was needed for them to take control was literally for the Afghan army and government officials to just simply go to their closet, take off their uniforms, and put on Taliban stuff.
Yes.
Like, I mean, that's basically what happened. My impression. I don't think there was a whole lot of combat. It was just like, oh, we're getting cut off from funding by the U.S. Okay, here's my Taliban outfit.
Did you guys see when they were actually coming in? Like, there's actual photos of them on like mopeds riding into like the capital cities and just like insane.
I mean, it was kind of badass, honestly.
It was.
I wish there was a way to get like a statistical understanding of how much actual support the Taliban has in that country, because there's no way that a single, or, you know, I wouldn't be a single, but one military can take a country the size of Afghanistan and all those cities in 2 weeks, unless precisely what's happening, what you said, Carr, is happening. Where it's just literally guys going, we won't kill you if you join us. Yeah, and they go, sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Yeah, like I don't think they give a shit. Yeah, I mean, I don't. I mean, you got to remember that we're foisting on them, identities that they don't even grasp.
Correct.
An Afghanistan nation or things like that. They probably don't give a shit one way or another. They're like, oh, you want to give me money? Yeah, sure, I'll wear this uniform.
Also, the other thing that has to be kept in mind when you're seeing these videos, consider how many videos in Afghanistan you've seen that do not focus on the airport.
Yeah.
Not many. I mean, right. I've seen a few, and do you know what Afghanistan looks like? The ones that aren't focused on the airport? It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably it's fine.
Pretty fine. Yeah. I mean, I'm everybody's fine for Afghanistan standards. Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. It seems fine. I mean, I saw pictures and videos of women in Kabul going around going, does this look like the Taliban is taking over and instituting some sort of law where I'm not allowed to walk around on the street anymore? I've literally saw many women posting and being like, what they're telling you is not true here. Look at what Kabul looks like right now. And it looks like Miami. It's really weird.
Well, I think, listen, man, I mean, in this, we know the media distorts stuff. We know all this, but I mean, we should be hyper aware of that after the COVID thing. I mean, it's still going on. People are in hysterics down here, and it's like, I don't know anybody that's even sick. And there's just and I'm not saying people aren't sick. I'm just saying, like, the reality that, quote unquote, that they're able to create is so
correct.
Drastically altered from actual.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievably fake.
Yeah.
It's completely fake. I don't believe a single piece of news that's actually coming out of Afghanistan unless I see it randomly on a Twitter feed by the person who recorded it.
Right. Yeah.
I don't believe shit. I really don't. I mean, other than the fact that Osama bin Laden's brother's house is for sale, I do believe that.
That's one I
do believe, yeah.
Saw it on the Twitter feed.
Now, I got some other things. There's Ace, did you do any research on that guy from Wales?
I did, yes.
Please, can you explain this to me? Because this is a weird one.
Okay, this is incredible. So this is a guy, he was a British student, and he got stuck in Taliban-controlled Kabul.
Don't.
All right, so his name, he's going by Lord Miles, and there's a funny story about that I'll get to in a little bit. So his name is Miles Routledge. And he lives in England or Britain somewhere. And basically, he wanted to take a trip because apparently he's taken trips to a lot of dangerous places over the years. Like he said a couple of years ago, he went to Chernobyl just because he's like kind of like a thrill seeker kid,
because
I guess.
I wanted to go.
Yeah. And this guy isn't just like any old like British student. He's a 4chan poster, a shit poster.
He's a shit poster.
Yes.
Oh, he's one of us.
One of our people.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. So he goes there and he's taking pictures on the back of like armored military vehicles holding the big guns, the rotary
hell
guns.
Yeah.
And when this all goes down, he is trapped in that country, and he's trapped in like, you know, an Islamic country being taken over by the Taliban. So he does the only rational thing a person in that situation would do, which is cross-dress.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so he sees all these people invading, essentially, like the Taliban's coming back into the capital city. So he gets a burqa and wears it and starts walking through the city with them.
Dude,
that's kind of
that is some like I've seen that in a movie, and
yes,
I don't remember which movie I've seen that in, but that's been in a movie for sure.
So
what did he do? Walk around like this?
Yeah, pretty much. Yes.
Yeah, pretty sure it's that the movie's Monty Python: The Life of Brian.
Definitely. Definitely that was the movie. Yes.
Yeah. And that was
mind
it.
You. Yeah. And they got to go to the public stoning. And...
Yes.
Right.
Are there any women here? Or are there any men here?
Whatever. So, mind you, while he's doing this, he's also shit posting on 4chan.
Incredible.
While he's doing this.
Fucking Chad.
What a hero. Do we have the archives of this?
So there is a Twitter thread of this. And the unfortunate, the 4chan post is not there. I couldn't find it when I was looking, but there's screenshots of the 4chan thread.
Okay.
So that's still available. He tries to go to the embassy, but the Americans by this point have just cleared out. The embassy's just not under any type of American control, so he can't go there. So eventually he just starts like getting into like taxi cabs, I guess, there, dressed in full burqa. And
does he speak Arabic or Parsi or any of those languages?
I don't believe so. I not from what I've read.
Take me to the center square, chap. I mean...
Yeah. So then he tries to go to the airport, but then the airport shut down at this point. It's just chaos.
Yeah.
He eventually gets taken in by some like UN or NATO compound, and he's given a place to stay there. And then when he's there, he decides to live stream to Twitch for an hour and a half and talk about his experience.
Wow. So in Afghanistan, they obviously have, you know, Twitch streaming internet capabilities.
Yes.
In Kabul.
Absolutely.
He's in Kabul, I assume?
He was in Kabul. He eventually did get out, but while he was doing his stream, he was just talking about it, and he was just having a great time. He was having a blast.
This is what I think, is if any number of us were there, I feel like we'd have a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we'd have a great time. So what is the...
We're based, y'all are based. I mean,
Dude, the dancing Afghans meme is going to blow up by the time this episode drops, and it is truly solid. And we did come to the conclusion in the boys chat that Afghans are white based on the fact that they cannot dance.
None of those guys can
dance. You know, honestly, I thought in Sharia law you were not allowed to dance. I know for a fact that ISIS guys are not allowed to dance or listen to music that isn't, you know, Psalms from the Quran. They are not trained dancers, let's say.
Right.
Let's just say they're not trained dancers.
Not traditionally.
But they're boogieing. They are really boogieing down. It's wild shit.
This guy also said while he was doing his Twitch stream, he's also like he's a Catholic, and he was talking about look, if I die, I die. God is on my side. So he was very like hopeful about it.
That's what you have to take that opinion when you are in a foreign country that is currently at war and has been for 20 years. Would be a good mindset.
I'm paraphrasing here, but I'm pretty sure he had a quote during his live stream where he was saying, the guns were going off, children were crying, it was anarchy, it was based.
It was based.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is awesome. Wow. You're welcome on the show, bud. Lord Miles.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
Lord Miles, you're welcome on the show anytime you want.
His name is Lord Miles, and so he's not actually a lord. So before he went to Afghanistan...
Well, says you. Yeah. No, sounds like a lord to me.
Oh, no, he is a king, but he's not a king. Lord. he's a king, but he's not a lord.
Really?
So he went to his bank before he went to Afghanistan and had his name and told them and conned them, essentially, that he was a lord. And on all of his certificates, it now says Lord Miles on it.
Did
this because he's like, look, if I get... if something bad happens with the Taliban or something like that, I can show them and they can think I'm a lord, of nobility, so I can, you know, get bargaining power out of
this.
That's
true.
This guy is crafty. Crafty bitch.
So he eventually did get out, right? He's out.
Did he go back to Wales?
And he's in North Korea now.
You know, it's funny. On his stream, he actually said he was going to think about going to North Korea instead.
they'll kill him. They'll get him there for sure. Yes.
But there's a funny picture where he is at the airport. He's at the airport after leaving, right? He landed in Dubai. That's where he is now. But in this picture, everyone is wearing a mask, and he's the only person in here not wearing a mask.
Dude, get him on the show. Somebody find out how to contact this guy and get him on the show for us, please. Someone contact Lord Miles.
Seriously, this dude's awesome.
Wow, what a king.
What a
king. Yeah. Shout out to you. Early King Fridays dedicated to Lord Miles. I'm calling it right now. On King Friday, shout Lord Miles out.
The NATO guys there, the guys who gave him the compound, gave him some armor vest and a big, huge gun, and he took a photo with it.
Oh, I did see that.
You saw that? That was pretty badass.
Yeah, that was badass.
Dude, in the United States, you couldn't get a guy to buy you a soda. They're out there giving him...
Yeah.
it's to go around. Might as well take
that. It's got to be such a weird vibe. Like, it's got to be a very interesting. I'm trying to think of the right word, but like being in the capital at that time, you know that it's not being violently taken, you can at least assume that, and all bets are off, and you're just standing there, and it's like, oh, you want to hold this gun? Yeah, sure. Hold that gun. Put this vest on. Who gives a shit? Like, nobody cares about anything. That's got to be a really tremendous experience.
Dude, I saw Taliban guys when they were dancing. One of them was doing air guitar with his AK. It was excellent.
Yeah. It's awesome. Crazy. Probably loaded. Probably safety off.
Yeah, safety. There's no safety. They don't even know. One of them have ever flicked that safety once.
No. That was something else he said in his stream. He was saying that whenever there was a traffic dispute or something, like when someone cut someone off, they would fire their AK in the air. And that's how they resolved their traffic dispute.
That's awesome.
Jesus. Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of Southern and Taliban unity going on on the timeline too.
If
anybody like wanted Texas. To know where the average Southerner how they were feeling lately, like then that's how. That's how. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Inshallah, I don't really know what to say in this situation. It's none of our business. It never was. Afghanistan should go back to how it was before we went there because it was never our business in the first place. That's my take. And then people go, well, what about the women? I go, well, that's how were they in the first place? Like that. Okay. That's how they're staying. I don't know what you want me to do.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, it's not that I don't want to make this. I don't want this to sound like I'm endorsing the Taliban, but there was a certain like underdog energy when you saw the videos of them like in the presidential palace, like eating cookies.
Oh yeah.
Like,
it was amazing.
Hell yeah. Kings. Yeah.
Really weird because, and in some senses in that direct relationship, I agree with you. Like, because then you saw they broke into the presidential palace and they were trying to figure out how to use exercise equipment.
Right.
And none of them knew how to use it. And that it's sad because you really got to go. Not one of these motherfuckers knows what a gym is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
These motherfuckers have never used gym equipment in their lives. Yeah. That's how not good they're doing economically.
Right.
That they have literally never used gym equipment. They can't dance. And these motherfuckers just ousted 20 years of neoconservative investment. And they're living their best fucking lives.
Right.
Dude, it's a bizarre situation. It should, you don't have to be like, and that's why the Taliban are cool, but you cannot deny that for 20 years, these guys, their brothers, their family members, were being drone bombed, attacking in a, and Biden called it, we don't belong in Afghanistan's civil war. Oh, that's an interesting.
Yeah, that was so
that's
interesting.
A new term to use. Sure, it's
right.
A civil war. Yeah, I think he got that confused with Syria. Oh, wait, we started that one too.
Interesting.
It's weird that when a third country comes in and starts a war, it's called a civil war. Isn't that what happened with the French in our civil war? Anyway, it's a real mind-boggler, and the only thing that I can say is good luck.
Yeah, I mean, I wish them the best, that's for sure.
Yeah, I wish the entire Afghan people the best.
Yeah.
And I hope that they do, I do hope they do what they say, and they respect everybody's rights, which is what their spokesman came out and said. He said, we will respect the rights and equality of women under Sharia law. He put that one in.
Under Sharia.
Under Sharia law.
It's like long pause, under Sharia law.
Under Sharia law.
He said it with a smile the entire time.
And it's just funny because I was watching Joe Rogan the other day. He was like that, too. And he was saying something like, you know, what do you do about the situation? What do you do? It's like, Joe, it's nobody's fucking business. I don't know why. I don't know what the urge is, what culture produces it, what economic incentives produce the average person, not, you know, the Halliburton investor, the average person to go, man, we got to help them.
Yeah.
I just don't. Never have mind your own business.
I blame Woodrow Wilson.
I will allow you to do that. In fact, I might agree with you. I will blame Woodrow Wilson for this. Fuck you, Woodrow.
Yeah, is that our official take?
Fuck Woodrow Wilson. Okay. He started the Afghanistan war. Yes.
Yes. Unironically.
That's the one.
We got more.
Now, I'm gonna get the boring stuff out of the way, the vaccine stuff. There's more vaccine stuff, fellas.
There's just more vaccines.
Literally.
One more thing.
There's literally.
Did you see that the spokesman for the Taliban came out and criticized Facebook for their censorship policy?
Yes, I did.
No
that was funny.
Way.
Yeah, that was really funny. Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
Imagine they institute some sort of a free thinking paradise.
Right.
Like, we just wanted the country so we could take the tax money.
Capistan.
You can believe what you want. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, from the videos I was seeing, it does look like they created in Kampistan.
Right.
It looks
like
pretty damn close.
Dude, they're
if you're riding around on a moped with an AK-47, that's pretty... I mean, listen, I can round up to Ankapistan
from
there.
There was one video of a guy who was, I guess you could... he was working in the capacity of an arms dealer. Oh, by the way, there's Mossad agents on the ground. I don't know if you've seen pictures of these. There's Mossad agents on the ground down there in Afghanistan. Go search that up. Go search Mossad agents, Afghanistan. There's these dudes who are Polish. They're Polish, okay? They're pale as the dawn, and they have ginger hair. and they have the Mossad sunglasses. You know what I'm talking about. Yep. There's those specific sunglasses that special forces guys always wear. They're on the ground there, so I have no idea what they're doing, but they're down there now hanging out, probably trying to get back some weapons, to be honest, trying to ship some out. There was one video of a guy who was working in the capacity of an arms dealer, and there had to be 5,000 rifles neatly organized in a pallet on the ground, and they were just like, okay, just take them, just take them, just take one. Go ahead, have it. It yeah. was really bizarre. But now let's get to what is really bizarre, because it's happening here and now. Biden administration has advised most Americans to get a booster jab after 9 months. So here's the deal. 9 months for each, not the next one. Every 9 months. Every 9 months. We knew this, but it's just we got some confirmation. This is what he said. Mm-hmm. Now, some spooky things. Alex Berenson, who's great source, tweeted, from a nurse at a kids' hospital in California where 70 NICU nurses are ready to walk. There are nurses, obviously, who are protesting. And an employee at a small system in Maryland that has a relatively high vax rate and is still anticipating chaos. Pro tip, if you need to get sick, do it before mandates hit October 1st. Why? Well, he posted a couple of images, and let me read them to you. Please don't share my address. I work at CHOC Children's Hospital in Orange County, California. We have been mandated by the state of California to be fully vaccinated by 9/30/21. If we're not vaccinated, we will receive a 5-day unpaid suspension beginning October 1st. If we don't get our initial vaccination in that 5-day time span, we are terminated on October 6th. There are currently 70 NICU nurses refusing vaccination. That unit will be in bad shape if they lose 70 staff members. Many nurses in other units are also refusing. Management is also telling staff that they aren't even allowed to speak about the vaccines at work. The other part of California's healthcare mandate is that the hospital visitors are required to provide proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test to enter the hospital. CHOC administration has decided to change the name of our visitors to care partners and has exempted them from showing proof of vaccination or a negative test. So, while forcing young, healthy employees to take a vaccination under EUA, they are going to allow visitors into the facility that could potentially infect staff and patients. Interesting. RE, your tweet about staffing shortages. My organization actually just added a resignation code for coding of vaccine mandates. They're also adding an involuntary one. Vaccinate rate at 78 for my organization, two hospitals, with approximately 3,000 employees. They are already at critical staffing shortages as it is, and are anticipating chaos on 10-1 when the mandate goes into effect. And finally, good afternoon. In response to the UMMS COVID-19 mandatory vaccination policy, we have created a new term code in V6. When completing the term PAF for a team member that is voluntarily resigning because of COVID vaccination requirements, please select the following term reason. And then it lists out that. So there is, everybody just keep spooky season's coming. That's all I can say. Spooky season's coming. On October 1st, let's see what happens. Because if these nurses start protesting and leaving, and they're already talking about big death rates, well, they better just adjust their statistics is all I'm saying.
Imagine the PR problem that would be to have all these like doctors and nurses resigning because they don't want to take the vaccine.
Do you think so? I think it would not be a PR problem at all.
Well, I mean, you know, it always depends on how much they would spin it. But I think it would be a PR problem for the viewers. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
Reinforce.
Yes. Yes. The people who aren't getting vaccinated are not going to get vaccinated doubly because of what's coming.
Right.
But this is what they want.
Sure.
It is?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. What they want is to continue to further divide the country, 100%.
From that angle. Yeah.
Yeah. What the people in power have always wanted is to divide as many people as they possibly can, and they found a new biological way to do it.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I don't want to sound naive on this. I feel like they're going to run out of gas.
I hope you're right.
And I'm not saying that it's not. Listen, man, I wouldn't want to be living in California right now. I wouldn't want to be. I mean, even here, that you know, they're trying to saber rattle and get people all, you know, jazzed up over this shit again. I don't know, man. Maybe it's just a vibe from being here and very specifically in Fort Worth, but like, I think people are just so tired. Like, they're just so tired of it. And particularly in places that have relented, like Fort Worth has been absolutely like essentially 100% normal for 6 months at this point, like where it's rare to see anybody wearing a mask, except for occasionally some people that work at restaurants will be wearing masks. But I mean, if you got airdropped into my life from 2018, you would not really know.
See a difference.
Yeah, no. And I just can't imagine places that have gone through that, returned to normal. I can't imagine them being.
And meanwhile, I live in a state where the governor has mandated that private businesses are not allowed to serve people in restaurants if they're not vaccinated.
And I think that's what. I'm getting at here is that yes, you're right. It is going to divide the country, but I think unfortunately it's going to divide it over very geographic.
Didn't we talk about that early on in the? I feel like we had exactly that conversation.
Well, we were talking about it because remember very early on in the first few weeks that half the country was talking about seceding.
Yes.
Which is people forget about that the regions were going to basically secede over various different issues. I think some of them wanted more response from the federal government, some wanted less. But there, you know, states were starting to band together. Idaho was talking about joining with half of Oregon. There were some pretty wild talks that, you know, obviously we knew weren't going to come to fruition. You know, unless I guess the feds continue to clamp down, but. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the divide is going to happen over geographic borders and not necessarily. Of course, they will be successful in dividing some people within communities against each other.
Yeah, like but me. That's why I'm leaving.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I think that this is going to happen very geographically. And I think that in to a large degree, there will be, you know, people who. There will be states that recognize that this is just a yearly respiratory virus, just like the flu that we have to deal with. And then there will be states that freak out. And that's just the way that it's going to be.
Correct.
Did you guys see that a couple days ago? It got walked back, I think, by Biden's spokespeople or whatever. But there was a news story that came out. I'm not sure it had like the veracity or like how true it is. But they were talking about like using the interstate commerce clause to regulate like interstate travel for people who are vaccinated or not. Like they later came out and said no. But if they actually went ahead and did that, I think that would probably spark some secession talk.
Right to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court would say, you can't do that. And then they would never be able to do anything like it again. That's what I think would happen.
I'm not as confident about that given their past Interstate Commerce Clause rulings.
Correct. But have you seen the court?
That is true.
This one time. Fair. I'm hoping everything goes through the Supreme Court right now.
Yeah.
Because right now, the Supreme Court is actually like on the side of what Trump wanted to do. Because it's still built that way. I don't know. Maybe that's too much optimism on my part, but I never give that out. And so,
speaking of New York, it still reinforces my point that this whole thing was created by Bill Kristol to get out of the Scott Horn debate.
Correct. Correct.
That's great.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very. Is that thing like still?
Yeah, it's still on.
Still kicking around.
Yep. It's still going to be on October 4th.
October 4th. So we'll know by then whether or not the October 1st thing is happening. That feels good.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Oh, so then it is happening.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing is it's in New York.
Yeah.
So I
will be there for it. And I totally will not be using a fake vaccine passport to get in.
No, why would you do that?
Wait, do you need a vaccine passport there?
See, that's the thing. The key to New York is a vaccine mandate in basically private businesses. It's
Anything going on October 4th. I wonder if I.
Don't come up here, guy. I would really be like, that thing wasn't. It should just be moved.
Cowboys Panthers. I might go to that game. It's on October 3rd. I think I'm going to go to that.
That's better.
Actually.
Yeah, that's better. You'll actually be able to go to it.
Yeah, probably.
A couple more pieces of news. We can pivot now away from vaccines to something more interesting. 14% of Biden voters say that Trump will be reinstated as president by the end of this year.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. And you know what's the most nutty thing about that? And I know that, like, obviously I'm not a Q guy or, like, any of that retarded shit, but like, I don't know, man. It just, everything feels weird. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I really don't know how unlikely it is to see... Well, let me start with the fact that somebody may be instated to replace him. I mean, I don't know how that unlikely that... Like, what do you think the odds are on... Joe Biden not being president January 1, 2022?
40%. I'm gonna say 40%.
I mean, that's not low.
No, it's not low at all. No, it's not low. That's way higher than 14.
You know how each presidency kind of has this like aura around it, like there's kind of like an ethos around it. Joe Biden is just like lifelessness.
Yeah,
what I mean. It's just like there's nothing there.
Well,
it's,
and back to business is the word I would use, and those probably the same word.
Yeah, right.
It's so weird, man.
It's very like... weird, man. So let me read. So this poll was put out by Politico. Politico found that 14% of Biden voters surveyed said it was very or somewhat likely that Trump, and I guess very is very, and somewhat has to be at, what, 50%? I don't know. That's what I would say. Trump would make an inexplicable return to the White House as soon as this year. 26% of Trump voters... agreed that the former president would likely return to office before Biden's term is over. 26% of Trump voters believing that, I understand. But if you're going to tell me 14% of Biden voters believe that, all that I can imagine that pointing to is that 14% of Biden voters are scared and deranged. Which I actually think it's probably higher than that, but yeah. It's got to be at least that. Support for the conspiracy theory, was significant even among voters who said they were very or somewhat favorable towards Biden, with 26% agreeing. So not Biden voters, but people who were favorable said, one quarter chance he'll be back in. Those who had an unfavorable opinion of Biden, this is interesting, I didn't read this before I said 40%, said 41% maintained that it would be at least somewhat likely for Trump to be reinstated. So I guess I fall into that category. Well, that's that. And you might be wondering why that was. Well, it was because Mike Lindell said it. But, MyPillow guy. But, Mike Lindell is no longer assuring his supporters that former President Donald Trump will be reinstated by the end of August. He pulled it back. He said over the past few days, he's conceded that, you know, maybe it was a dubious strategy in order to help overturn the election. Maybe not. Who knows? But he basically said... I could be off by a month or so. I don't know. he's getting those he's Department of Defense numbers or something.
That's good.
He said that the eighth month of the year would be when Trump replaces Joe Biden. And he said, well, that's subjective. He also admitted, I don't know if that will be the month. I wouldn't be out there doing this if I wasn't 100% real. We have three paths to pull down this election. I'm still sticking to August of this year. That's my opinion. So he is locked in, but floundering.
What an incredible like timeline we live in where the MyPillow guy is making national news talking about the president of the
United States. It truly is.
Now, if he does, if Donald Trump, I will say this on the podcast right now. If Donald Trump becomes president, I got to take a week off.
Okay.
I got to take a week off because nobody needs us if Donald Trump becomes president again. Nobody needs this podcast.
Yeah.
What do you need to listen to us make fun of the insanity of this world for when you can watch him become president again?
You can either watch the weatherman tell you it's raining or you can open the window.
Very true. Very true.
You know, I don't know, man. It does. It's a weird, weird times. And I mean, to say that the United States federal government looks weak right now is pretty much an understatement. So it's who knows? It's just a nutty, nutty time.
Totally nutty. Trudeau, the Canadian prime minister, we are moving slightly away, remarked angrily that he was upset that conservatives are not talking about the she session, and the she covery. What is with him doing all the she stuff? He does this a lot, doesn't he?
He does this a lot.
He's a weirdo, right?
He's a weirdo, right?
Like one day it's going to come out that there's some allegations against him and such.
Yeah, you got to
right?
imagine.
I mean,
if you did blackface, you know, there has to be something else. No one just does blackface.
No,
you know
right.
I mean? There's always blackface.
If blackface is the only thing you've done, you know, I find that hard to believe, Nick Ashley.
Right. It's always blackface and list.
Yeah, I find that hard to believe.
List.
Crippling heroin addiction, like,
yes.
like Aaron.
So, now, here's right. the question.
Or crack, rather.
What do you think comes first, the she session or the he session? Ooh. Where Donald Trump comes back, because that's what we're calling it. We're calling it the he session.
The he session.
If Donald Trump is reelected. Well, not. I guess he wouldn't be elected this time. I don't even know. What are the rules? There's no rules. There's no fucking rules.
That's when you make your own.
Yeah.
We don't like rules, do we, folks?
No, we don't like rules. And finally, the last story I have for the day, to end us on a good note. This is a free market success story, if you will. The Guinness World Record holder ate 50... Hold on, I'm sorry, I messed that up. The Guinness World Record holder ate McDonald's Big Macs daily for 50 years.
Hell yeah, king.
50 yeah. years. He is the Mac Daddy. Donald, a king's name, Gorski, has nabbed the world record for most McDonald's Big Macs eaten after consuming a belly-swelling 32,340 Big Macs, and he never lost count once. I don't know how he ever submitted proof of this, but he did. He is a Wisconsinite. Of course he is. He was featured in Super Size Me, the 2004 documentary. Basically, he did what the Super Size Me guy did, except he's stronger than ever. Stronger than ever. Since the fateful day that he began, Gorski has eaten at least 2 of the 563-calorie burgers on a daily basis. At least 2 a day. He's the Big Mac Pac-Man, guys.
How old is this dude?
He is currently 67. He began this when he was 17 years old.
Damn, look at
now
that.
See,
you know what this motherfucker
that,
said?
Like,
you know
science
said?
Is fake and gay.
He right. said, I'm as healthy as a horse. I weigh 190 and my cholesterol is 165. I'm better than normal.
Jeez, Louise. Like, what a Chad.
His blood sugar, they tested it, and his cholesterol are relatively low. Probably because, and he chalks it up to foregoing the fries, and as he called them, the grease vehicles. This dude is a beast.
Man, this guy sounds like he has a PhD in bro science. This
for guy. Sure. For sure. The only
this guy's
thing
not
I don't
taking
like
a vaccine
this,
booster shot. I can
yeah, know. This dude does not. You know what? I should really look up his name and see if he's talked about that. Because if this guy's gotten a vaccine, I would be a little disappointed. I would be like, well, huh? Yeah, sure, So the craziest part is that this isn't the first time Gorski has notched the record for most Big Macs eaten. It was first verified in the 1990s. And then somebody beat him, and he was like, nah, son, we coming back. And he sure did. That's our news for the day. That's all I have for you guys. The last thing I'd want, everybody look up Taliban fighters bumper cars. Have a good time looking that video up. And that's that. That's all I've got, guys.
Oh, God.
You feeling good, Carr? You feeling...
I'm feeling great, to be honest with you. I'm just happy that things are destabilizing. Like I'm
really destabilizing
about
again.
Yeah, yeah. It's truly. Go ahead.
I did want to tie it back because I think we can tie this back into the beginning with Afghanistan. Is that the last U.S. troops are going to be stationed at the McDonald's?
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, I guarantee you, the Taliban guys are like, we're not going to fuck with the McDonald's. That's,
right.
That's genius.
Probably true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Proving once again that capitalism not only transcends boundaries, but also animosities too.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. It's just. I don't know. We say this a lot, but it's just a weird time, dude.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's excellent. There was a period of time when Biden first became president for those first 2 or 3 months that was just boring.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh, back to the neoliberal like world order. Like, yeah. We're just going to keep marching forward. No, apparently not. Apparently shit's going to get real weird.
Yeah, we are in the neoliberal world disorder.
Disorder, yeah. It's because becoming stabilized. Because
with Trump, that wasn't in existence, really. It was a different, like, weird neo-populist something or other on the news going on with the military-industrial complex kind of still doing its thing underneath. And now
you've got the looming threat of the kind of the central banking long cycle of what is going to happen financially in the globe. And I think that is where, and I'll plug my show, The Signal, I'm going to be talking with Roland. I had a goddamn episode, but the audio effed up.
Yeah, what happened there? On Audacity's time or here in Zencastr?
Zencastr. Yeah, Zencastr. I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know if I can save it, but I had an awesome episode with Rolo. We got kind of passionate. We were drunk, called a lot of people faggots, and so maybe
hell
it's
yeah.
Than that. Yeah, it was pretty base, but maybe it's better better not. You know, maybe I'll throw that up on Patreon if I can salvage the audio. But
yes.
I'm gonna have Rolo and Steppy hopefully on, and that should be up within around the time this comes out to talk about the Jack tweet or yes. series of tweets.
The Jack tweet. How many tweets was it like in that?
Several.
Like,
I mean, it's been kind of ongoing. I mean, yeah, I would say four or five, Ace, something like that.
Yeah, it's been like two. Yeah, I think I counted like three or something. At
yeah,
least.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is it? What the fuck happened in 1971?
Yep,
that was a good tweet.
Yeah.
And to touch on that real quick, so after he tweeted that out with Anatomy of the State, Rothbard trended for a little
while. Yeah, which was so bizarre. I mean, somebody put it really well. They were like, it's like when that underground band that you like gets found out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's just super weird.
Yeah, people are like still very anti-Jack, and I have always kind of been very much of the opinion Jack is not the guy you should fear primarily. It's the people working underneath him. Go check that episode out on Joe Rogan, where he had Jack on, and it wasn't just Jack, it was a woman who was with him. And the woman who was with him
she
is part of,
more,
like, the comfort and care department, or whatever the fuck it's called. Yeah. Those are the people on Twitter who you
like
really should hate.
Hostage.
Yeah, I think he's making big bucks, so.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think to sum up what I think the conversation is, or at least one of the finer points of the conversation that I'm probably going to have with Rolo and Steppy, is that I don't think Jack is super ideologically driven.
No, me neither.
And I think that he has the opportunity to secure his place in the new financial world. And when he's looking at three options, one being continuing the U.S. dollar hegemony and trying to make that work, one that is much more altered towards the Eastern Hemisphere, China, et cetera, or one that's Bitcoin oriented, and he owns an internet company, and that internet company happens to be reaching tens of millions of people around the world and is a de facto news organization.
Yeah, push.
he's looking at that, and I say we ride that wave. I mean, I'm not saying that Jack is good. I'm not
doesn't
saying
matter.
He's bad either. It doesn't matter. It's no. it's be
trustless.
Aware.
That's what it means.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's my thing too, right? It's like, I don't care what his like inner motivations for posting that was at all. Like, all I care about is that a bunch of people saw that for the first time and might get red pilled from it.
That's why I whenever people are like, oh, you like him because he tweeted this, it's like, he
I don't care about him.
He is doing something that will guarantee he has less power over other people.
Right.
I don't give a shit what he actually thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? Yep.
Right, exactly.
I forget who it was, but it happened recently again to somebody else, and Rollo made the comment, if this is all like a scam, like somebody, it was like El Salvador pushing cryptocurrency and then eventually Bitcoin. And some people were like, so what? Bitcoin is like state stuff now? And Rollo said it best. He was like, if this is like a thing that the state thinks is going to help them, it's the biggest shot in the foot of all time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest, doesn't understand Bitcoin at all move of all time. And you know what? Awesome. Let's go for it. Hell
yeah.
Exactly.
Hell yeah. Lean
Let's
in. Fuck yeah.
We're leaning in. So we're leaning in. We're leaning against the wheel really hard.
We're leaning all sorts of which ways.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
I just want to say this has been a huge white pill for the past couple days, because not only did Rothbard trend after Jack posted that, he then posted like what the F happened in 1971, which is obviously the gold standard, and then Ron Paul trended the day we left Afghanistan.
Yeah,
and then Scott Horton trended today.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Scott trended
That's
today.
Incredible.
A lot of people pushing to get Scott on Joe Rogan. Really hope that happens, especially since Abby Martin name dropped him like two episodes ago. So really hoping that happens.
She? I know Dave did last time, but I didn't know.
And Dave
did
too. And so he's hearing that name a few times. And I'm a huge Joe Rogan podcast listener. I love bro science, as you guys know. So that is the one for me that's like, oh, if someone's on there, everybody's going to hear about them. And that's all I need.
Yeah, man. And I mean, just my plea to the listeners is like, don't be scared. Fucking lean in. Like, let's go out laughing.
Scott has specifically said, please don't.
Yeah,
keep bothering him, and I.
Well,
agree
no,
with
no,
him.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just. I'm talking about in general, like in this world that seems to be destabilizing, a lot of structures that we don't like seem to be destabilizing.
Correct.
Lean the fuck in. Who cares?
Yeah, lean
like,
in. Yeah,
let's go.
You got nothing to lose. Take up lots of money. Give it to me.
Exactly. Don't be a little bitch on Twitter. Like fucking lean in.
It's really for real. that was the last thing, and that's the last thing. If people are like, I don't like Bitcoin because it's stealing my money, it's like, well, if it's stealing your money, put the money that it's stealing into Bitcoin and it won't steal your money. Because it's obviously not stealing your food money, it's being spent, it's just your profits it's stealing. Why don't you put your profits in Bitcoin then?
Yeah, it's
just
easy
dumb.
Fix, guys.
Just
easy
dumb.
Fix.
Really easy. So with that, Carr, lean in.
Yep. I'm leaning in, I'm leaning sideways, I'm leaning back, I'm looking out all the windows, and I got two hands on the wheel. See you guys next week.
We're never plugging Slurp Gang Squaw!